All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're in chapter 8 this morning, and we're going to just look down to the first 8 verses. And again, Solomon is sharing with us, and this is the end of his life. And so these are really words of wisdom for us to understand, even though he has really messed up his life, and he knows that, and that's what he's really sharing here. But here's the man that wrote the book of Proverbs. And when you study the book of Proverbs, you find out that's a book filled with wisdom to help us to grow and to learn and to be what God wants us to be. And then you come to this book and you find out there's so many things that Solomon has come to the end of his life thinking, the major thing being that all is vanity and vexation of spirit. There's nothing left. It's all empty. It's a waste. All the things I've done, they're not important. And that's the thing that he's warning us about. So we don't find ourselves in a place when we stand before God and we look back and think like Solomon. All of it was vanity and vexation of spirit. And the only reason that would be is because we chose not to live for the Lord. And that's the bottom line. So he's trying to lead us in that position and help us to understand. Let's begin reading verse 1 of chapter 8. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment, therefore the misery of a man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? Excuse me. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for this book. As we have been studying this, realizing that there's some wisdom in this book to teach us things, really, what not to do. What not to focus on. How not to live. And Father, I just pray that as we continue in this and look at this book in the next 3 chapters after this one, that we will understand that you have a plan and purpose for each one of us. And we don't want to fall into the same situation as Solomon did, a man who started out as straight as an arrow, but ended up on the crooked path. Father, help us all. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, each day 360,000 babies are born in the world, and each day 148,000 people die. So there's a balance there, and that's a continual thing. And here we see this book that we're reading today is about life and death. And Solomon points that out to us, that life is connected to death, and life, we must be prepared for death. We don't like to think about it sometimes, or we don't want to think about it. But the fact is, it's inevitable, unless the Lord comes back, that we're going to be in the grave. It's going to happen. And that's the realistic part of life. And as we think about that and understand that, now we don't dwell on that, because for us as a believer, to be absent in the body is to be, I hope you believe that with all your heart, because that's the truth. And that's where we're going to end up. So for us, we have a different outlook than some others do today. In fact, the majority of the world. And so we have this time, though. God, he saved each one of us when we put our faith and trust in him. You see, the Lord came to seek and to save that which is lost. Everyone in this room could raise your hand and say, that was me. That was me. As he sought you, how did he seek you? By going to the cross and dying for you. He says, and if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me. He's saying that when I go to the cross, everybody's going to see this or know about this and understand that here's an opportunity. And everybody comes to the foot of the cross. And everybody's going to make a decision. Now you say, well, no, everybody doesn't believe, or everybody won't hear. When you give a testimony or share the gospel with anybody, they're coming to the foot of the cross, whether they know it or not. And they have to make a decision about that. Now, of course, the Spirit is the one who draws us. But anyway, I'm getting way off track. We're doing the rabbit trail. But once they put their faith and trust in Jesus and make that decision, then God has a plan for their life. It's not over. There's more to this. Yeah, death will come eventually if the Lord doesn't come back. And He's going to take you when it's your time. But He has something for you to do. And He wants us to get busy in that doing. We get the wrong focus sometimes. We look at things and think what the world has to offer is important. God doesn't care about your wealth and all these things. What does God care about? He cares about the fact that you are growing and becoming more like Christ. That's the purpose of this whole thing for the Christian. Everything else is just added to it, okay? And we have to choose which is right and which is wrong. And so here in our text, we see in verse 8 the phrase, the day of death. And of course, we're all moving toward that. And in verse 7, he poses a question. He says, who can tell him when it shall be? And of course, the obvious answer is, we don't know, but God does. And so the whole point is that we have to trust God in this life and trust Him to and allow Him to make these decisions. And so He's given us some wisdom in these first 8 verses. When we look at this, He gives us some counsel concerning life. God is always giving us counsel. And where does He give us counsel? It comes through the Word of God, and He uses people to use the Word of God to counsel us in the right way. Don't ever forget, He always uses people. There's a time in my life when I thought, well, you know, I can get everything I need from the Bible. There's truth to that if I understood everything and read everything all the time. But sometimes there's things that I might forget or might not practice. And it's good that somebody else can come along and say, hey, there's a problem here. You're doing some things that aren't right. You need to learn about this, and you learn about this particular thing. For instance, the music matter. I'm of the old school. If it sounds like bad music, then that's bad music. Kelly, who is a music major, has studied this out, and really, I think, personally, has brought forth some tools for us to use to discern what is right and wrong. And it can enhance us if we will follow those things. But it's something that I didn't know, and I needed someone to come along and help counsel me in this area of music. You know, God is a God of order. Don't ever lose sight of that. And so He wants to counsel us in every area of our life, whether it's marriage, whether it's where we live, how we live, all those things He wants to give counsel. And so God has given us the choice, and we have to take the opportunity and receive it if we want to use it. Look at verse 1 and 2. He says, who is a wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. So here, he's given us counsel, good counsel. And it's wisdom. He's going in depth. It's an investigation of the two folly, between folly and wisdom. And we don't want to live the life of folly, which Solomon did. And Solomon lived this life. And because of that, he had the opportunity to do anything he wanted to. He was the wealthiest man alive. He had anything he wanted. If he saw it, he could get it. Now, none of us probably understand that or know what that feels like. Because I don't just look at something and just go get it. I can't afford it or can't get it. I don't have the money, the resources to do it. He did. He could get anything he wanted. And, of course, through that, he learned that all was vanity and vexation. And he said it was all empty. And there's nothing in folly that is fulfilling. So Solomon asked, who is as the wise man? And really, a man's wisdom, where does wisdom come from? Huh? That's right. Is understanding what God wants us to do. There's where wisdom comes from. Wisdom does not come from the math book or the English book or all. That's knowledge, and knowledge puffeth up. And if it's right knowledge, there's nothing wrong with right knowledge. But a lot of that today, especially science, there's a lot of untruth in that. And that's why it's so important for us to be in the Word of God, to find out what God has to say about these things. Now, again, God is the God of order. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to learn English. He wants us to learn math. Why? Because those are tools that we can use to help others see Jesus Christ. All of this comes together. So wisdom, it changes us. It changes our lives. If a man has wisdom, I think he looks at life from God's perspective. You know, a simple illustration may be, you know, people say, I look through rose-colored glasses. Back in the 60s, people would take and put tinted glasses on or whatnot. But the thing is that we as Christians, instead of looking at things from our perspective, our emotions, our education, we go back to the Word of God and we find out what God has to say, and we try to look through the lens of the Word of God. We see something in the Word of God and we try to apply it in our lives and see how that fits or what we're supposed to do or how to use that. And it does make a difference in our lives. I look at money from a different perspective than I used to. I look at the way I dress differently than I used to. I look at music different than I used to. I look at people different than I used to. And what is that? That is trying to look through the lens of God and see people as God sees them, sees the way I dress as God sees it, see the music as the way God views it. That's that lens that we want to try to put on. It only comes through the Word of God. In Psalm 37, 4 and 5, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So when we delight, that is to please the Lord, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. And those desires are not the desires of our old nature, by the way. Excuse me. But they're the desires of God. And that's really when you delight yourself in the Lord, you're looking through the perspective of God's Word. You're delighting in what God has to say about a subject or a situation or something in your life. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Solomon asked, who is the wise man? And the wisdom comes from God. That's what he's saying. And when you have wisdom, I believe it changes the way you look. Matthew 6:22 and 23 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What's that mean? It means when you hold your fingers out, the light shoots out the end of your fingers? No? At the end of your toes, maybe? Somebody pull their shoes off. I want to see some light. No, not going to work. But you're filled with the light. What is the light he's talking about? It's the Word of God. It's the life that God's called us to live. It's all about that godliness, that holiness, that really the whole Word of God teaches us. That's the whole crux. Salvation is to change you from a sinner into a godly person. And the rest of the life you live is that struggle to learn how to do that. And it is a struggle, by the way. I'm fighting it, and I'm sure you are as well. So he says your whole body would be full of light. And then he says in that next verse, Matthew 6, 22, he says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, if we allow darkness into our lives, it just reflects into that part that is evil. And every one of us can do that real easy. And how do we do that? By neglecting this. If we neglect this, and neglecting this is in a lot of ways. It's neglecting to read it. It's neglecting to come to church. It's neglecting to study and meditate on it. And when we do that, then we're going to be filled with darkness, no doubt, because we won't know what God has for us. No, we won't know what God wants to teach us. And so it makes us hard. You ever met a Christian who's hard? We don't want to be that way, or critical, having a critical spirit about everything. It's easy to be there. It's easy to find yourself looking at things outside of God's Word and trying to implement those things, and they are very difficult and they are hard. Really, a lot of folks who are pharisaical, that's what they do. They'll look at things outside of the Word of God, and they'll try to put the yoke on everybody else. and it doesn't work. And I know, because I've tried this. And so what really has to happen is, as a person, in my case, the preacher, preaches the Word of God, it's not my job to put the yoke on you. It's your job to follow God. And you know what? This is what I like. I'm not responsible when you stand before God, as long as I tell you the Word of God, the truth. Everybody's going to be responsible for themselves. And so if I'm not the judge, then I don't have to worry about being critical about what others do. I just don't even have to. I mean, as a pastor, I want to encourage and strengthen and go have you go the right direction. But we all have choices to make. And your choices will be revealed when you stand at the foot of Jesus Christ. So man does not have the answers to the problems, because man's wisdom comes from that which is sensual, earthly, that really is from the world or the devil. You're either following Christ or you're following the devil. So we need God's wisdom. We need His perspective. And when we have that, it gives us hope. It helps direct us in the right way. And of course, we know that God is able to do that. You know, I mentioned this many times, and I hope you understand that I'm saying this. I'll try to say it again. I'll probably say it 100 other times. So keep your ears open and listen to this, because this is the truth. And the fact is that you and I cannot do what God has called us to do in the flesh. You can try to do it, but you're really not able in the long run. You and I can do what God's called us to do in the power of Christ. And that's where it is. He's the one who enables us to accomplish the things that He wants us to do. If He wants us to live a certain way, that accomplishment comes from allowing the power of God to penetrate our lives and really reveal those things to us and us submitting to Him. In Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." The power that worketh in us is Jesus Christ. That's where this comes from. And that's what we need to understand. In verse 2 and 3, again, I'm going to read 2 again. It says, "I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God," he says, "be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him." And what he's talking about is being obedient to those who are in authority. Don't rebel. Obey the law. Obey what he teaches you. Live decent, God-fearing lives. You know, Solomon was king. He wanted to give us this counsel, help us understand. Because as we are all under authority, and everybody's under authority, you know, some people think, I can get out. It's funny how you take the young boy who's a rebel. I mean, he won't listen to anybody. He can't get through high school, or at least back in the day. And he just had a hard time with someone telling him what to do. He didn't want his daddy to tell him what to do, his mommy. He didn't want any teacher telling him what to do. This is the characteristic of the guy who goes and joins the Marines. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a mistake if you don't like authority. But if you can work through it, it'll teach you to obey authority. They will make you do what they want you to do. And that's just the way it works. And but that's really what God is saying. When we obey authority, how do we obey authority? What does that mean to obey authority? Anybody give me some thoughts on that? How is it that we obey authority? We're under the law. Oh, live under the law. Okay. That's right. Anybody else? Thoughts? Okay. Anybody else? That's true. No, the law won't save you. That's true. How do we demonstrate or obedience? How should our, okay, let me put it this way. Maybe our spirit or attitude. Can you obey the law and be out of the will of God? Why? Your heart's not right. What does that mean? Okay. That's right. So obeying, really, in what he's trying to teach us, obeying is doing it willingly. Having a heart that is willing to do whatever. You ever met a person, and maybe every one of us could say yes to this, but you've met somebody who maybe you employed them, maybe you were working on a project, whatever, and they would say, hey, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Just show me what to do. There's somebody who's willing, okay, to do whatever. And that's what really he's talking about. When we talk about obeying, it's not the, and a lot of times it starts with the fact that you do it because you got to do it, but it needs to come to the point, especially for the Christian, is that because of your love of God, that you're going to serve in whatever position you're in. You see, when you go to work in your job, you just don't have a job. You're not just a someone who's employed there. You're serving God. You're a servant of God in that situation. Wherever you are, you're a servant of God. I don't care where you work. If you work at the Big Apple or the mill or on the border, you're serving God. We need to think about that because we forget that sometimes. We think, well, this is just a job. No, it's not. It's a job that God in heaven gave to you to supply your needs, and he did it for the purpose of not just making money, but to being a witness to others with your attitudes, the things you say, the way you demonstrate your character. Sometimes I think Christians come to the point in their life where they think, my job is different from my church. Or at church I'm this way, in the community I'm this way, or at job I'm this way. That is not true Christianity at all. And especially when we make much of ourselves about things, really we're saying that I'm trying to prove that I'm a Christian. But the fact is, you don't have to prove anything. You just have to be obedient to God. And you don't have to say anything about the things you do. Because who is important that needs to know? It's God. God is the one who's going to draw those people that are around us to Him. And He's using you as the body that's filled with light that they might see Christ. And if they don't see Christ, then we need to work on it. We need to strive to that point that we can get that people really know that I love God more than anything else. And that Solomon's trying to teach us that in these few words when he's talking about obedience. And of course, he talks about that if we're not careful, we're going to reap the consequences. Turn to 1 Peter for a second. I'm going to get there in just a minute. I want you to look at chapter 2. In verse 11 through 15, Peter is writing here. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So he's telling us right there is that we're to obey those that are in authority over us. Now, we don't obey someone who tells us to do something outside of the Word of God. We need to go to those people. We need to really talk to them and really make a petition. Daniel demonstrated that when he went to the king and he purposed in his heart that he was going to serve God, he went to the king and asked that he would not have to eat the king's meat or drink the king's wine. And, of course, he was granted that very thing. They were worried about his health. Well, his health was better after the fact when he was eating the pulp and that type of thing. My point is that we need to purpose in our heart that we're going to do right according to what God's word says and trust God, even though there may be some difficult times, even though we may be punished for that. Happy are ye when you are, stop right there, when you're persecuted for Christ's sake. In other words, if you're really living for God and you're persecuted, you shouldn't be going, oh me, oh my. You should be going, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve. Thank you for allowing me to go through this. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this. I love you more than anything else, and I'm going to trust you through it. Why? Because when you do it God's way, you don't know what the other end's going to look like. You don't know what's going to happen. God's already preparing something to happen big in your life that may do some work or help somebody else see Christ. But when we act like the world, oh me, oh my, you're no different than anybody else. The light's not in the body. You got darkness there. And they look at you and go, well, you're no different than anybody else, complaining, griping, and moaning, groaning. You know what? As a Christian, if you're living a Christian life, you're not going to be treated just. And when it comes into your life, remember, you deserve a lot worse. A whole lot worse. I do too. And we forget that. We lose sight of that. And we, myself included, become complainers and moaners and groaners instead of glorifying God. That's something we want to strive to work to. Go back to Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. In verse 4 and 5, he says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? In other words, the king is the authority. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And so when we have wisdom, we're going to learn to do those things really give us victory in life. And we're not going to be those that are struggling all the time. You know, when God brings you through something, there's a purpose behind it. What do you think God's doing? Why do you think He's doing it? Because He's trying to take you as that rough diamond and trying to knock the edges off to make it something that's going to sparkle and shine for Him. But if we have to go through the same thing over and over and over, He's also trying to teach us because He's chastening us and saying, you didn't learn it the first time. Let's try the second time or the third time or the fourth time. And you know, it gets old when you'd have to do that all the time. So that's what He's trying to do is teach us so we don't have to keep going through the same things. God wants to move us, keep us moving forward, keep us growing in Christ, trying to hone us. Why? Because we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He was not a sinner. He knew no sin. So what does that say? God is trying to put us in a position that we're like Christ, where we're not sinning like we used to. And that really comes from submitting to God, obeying God. In verse 6, he says, because to every purpose there is a time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. And really, as I mentioned, when we disobey God, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have problems. We're going to have difficulties. There are rules of life. You see, we've lost it in America. Kids do not understand anymore what it means to be under authority. They do not. Why is that? Because we teach them that they can have what they want. Excuse me. You know, parents these days, and there's nothing wrong with conversing with your child and asking him what he wants for dinner every now and then, but it shouldn't be the normal. The normal shouldn't be that your children determine what to eat. Because if, as a child, you know what I'd like to eat? Doritos, yeah. Candy, yeah. Chips. It's funny how a child sits at a table And he won't eat nothing until you bring out the dessert or something like that. Sometimes we allow them to make choices they should make. And they need to learn to be obedient. This is all we have. This is what we're eating. And we've missed the mark. Today you go out and you play Little League, and you know what? Everybody gets a trophy. We're all winners. Well, how does that work in life? One day they're going to be faced with the fact that some don't win. And they're going to think, well, that's unfair. That's why we have a society of kids and young people today, and even the last generation, that think they deserve something. I want my trophy. I don't want to work, but I want the money. You know, that type of thing. And we've trained people that way. And Solomon is saying that is not right. We need to continue to train our young people to obey. That's why Christianity is so good when you follow the truth of the Word of God, and we teach our children by the truths of the Word of God. Time out is something that, I don't know if it was Spock or somebody else came up with. Now, I don't mean your child needs a spanking every time, but you need to be consistent with training your children to obey so when they get older, they understand that obedience is important. More important that they obey God more than man. And of course, God has established the rules and placed us in those. Turn to Romans chapter 13 for a second. We're going to wrap this up in just a minute. In Romans 13, Paul's writing here, and he's telling Christians, those at Rome, to obey those in authority. You know, and you think about that, these were Christians. They were living in a pagan society. The rulers were pagan. And so he tells them nonetheless to obey them. Look at verse 1 of chapter 13, Romans chapter 13. Let every soul, he says, be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. So for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, there's a lot in that. And again, I want to say that if your rulers are teaching you or trying to tell you to do something that goes against God, there's a time to take a stand, okay? Don't get me wrong. But as long as they're within the legal bounds and you're following the Word of God, you're to do that. In other words, if you get pulled by a police officer and he tells you to get on the ground, get on the ground. Why? He's your authority. He doesn't know what you got. He don't know what you're going to do. And that's why people are having so many problems. They don't listen. They, get on the ground. Well, I got to get something out of my pocket. Some guy was doing that on a video or something, getting something out of his pocket. Next thing you know, his head's planted in the ground. I mean, if I was a police officer, I'd be a little nervous about things too. And I know these guys are shooting people that they shouldn't shoot and doing things they shouldn't do. And that's not the majority, that's the minority. But you have to look at their situation. We, the society that we live in, we are under the rule of this country. You come to America, become an American. Become an American, okay? We don't keep the language we brought with us. We don't keep all our cultures. You can keep some of that stuff. That's fine. But you need to learn to be an American because that's the country we live in. If I go to France, I'm going to have to learn French. I'm not going to get along too well speaking English only. You know, I might get some food or something every now and then, but it's going to be hard. So eventually I'm going to learn the language. I'm going to learn how to drive. They don't drive like we do here. Italy, all those places, it's different. I'm telling you. But nonetheless, that's what we're to do. We're to obey those that have the authority over us. And really, the world tells us, and you hear it all the time, be your own man. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be my own man. I'm supposed to be bought with a price. I'm supposed to be God's man. And every one of us, women included, are supposed to be gods. And so really, we need to keep that in front of us and understand that. Verse 7, he says, "For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be?" In other words, we don't know what's ahead. We don't know what's going to take place. God knows everything. Believe it or not, God knew that I was going to get saved. Did I know it? No. But God knew that. And does that mean that he chose me? No. It means that he gave me a free will to choose, and he already knows the past, present, and future. So he knows it all. Do I have to understand that completely? No. Why? Because I'm not God. I don't understand God to the extent that some of us think we do, and we think we got God in our little box, and this is what he's doing. We have to understand that we don't know him as well as we could and should, and probably won't until we see him face to face. But what we do know through the Word of God is what we're to act upon. That's what he's given to us. In verse 8, he says, "There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit." Isn't that true? Do you have power to retain the Spirit? I don't think so. And it's evident in your life. It's evident in my life. If I had power to retain the Spirit, then I would never walk outside of the Spirit. If I had that power, I don't have that power. The power only comes from God who sealed us until the day of redemption. The power comes from God who gave us the comforter that indwells the believer, and that is forever and ever and ever. That's the Spirit that we have. It's God who keeps that in our lives. It's not us. He's the one that keeps us, according to Peter. He goes on in verse 8, says, "Neither hath he power in the day of death." None of us have the power in the day of death as Christians. You know, and somebody says, "Well, what about suicide?" Let me tell you something. You and I, as Christians, have no right whatsoever to take our life. No right. "What about I'm dying for cancer?" No right. I'm sorry. That right belongs to God. Now, our country and our society today wants to teach you that euthanasia is okay. It is not okay. You find that in the Word of God, and I'll agree with it. I'll go along with it. It's not there. It's appointed once unto man to die. And after this is judgment. It is God's plan. God gives us a life, and he takes it away from us. So we don't know when that is, but God does. He says, "And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." And so the only deliverance we have is through Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith and trust in him, you are delivered from this body of sin, and you're going to be resurrected with Christ. We're studying Romans chapter 6, I hope all of us are. And so we realize that, and that is something that is guaranteed. But God also wants us to yield our members unto righteousness as well. And that's the rest of the story. And that's what Solomon is trying to teach us. Because he knows different, or lived different than that. And it's amazing when you understand that, and I understand that God has given us this book, this entire book, to help us to be what he wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for how you minister to us and through us through it. I pray that we'd all just accept what you have to say, and as we struggle through it, Father, that when we come to the conclusion, it's better to obey. Well, thank you for what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.